Hey everyone, it's Nat here once again. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 25 of the Hot Take Podcast. In today's show, the three of us are joined by a special guest, our good friend, EJ Jasmine, and we discuss our picks for top stories and top ballers of the week, Derrick Rose returning to the Knicks, and the best for last, of course, LeBron James. We asked the question, is LeBron really clutch? Stay tuned for our answer. Enjoy the show.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-hosts Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. But if you're seeing this, you're watching this, you might notice a new face. We have our boy EJ with us. What's up, EJ? How you doing, bro?
What's up? Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for joining us. So for EJ, why don't you kind of give the listeners and the viewers a little bit of knowledge about yourself? Who's your favorite team? What's your favorite team?
Gotta go with the Knicks, man.
Let's go.
York. Born in New York. What's up, Lawrence?
Let's go.
Lawrence, show your jersey, Lawrence.
Hey, you got the classic Ewing going on.
Ewing.
It don't get realer than Ewing. And my favorite player they just got is Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is my favorite player all time.
So okay.
I can't believe they got him again, but they did. And I'm hyped.
They did.
I'm about to get his jersey again.
You know what? I like that you said that because that's actually where we will go with our top stories, right? So the top stories from the past week, headlines, big news that was popping off. Of course, if you haven't heard already, yesterday it was official. Derrick Rose was traded to the New York Knicks for Dennis Smith Jr., EJ, what's your take on that? How do you feel about D Rose being back in the Madison Square Garden?
I love it. I love it. You know, he said there's a second chance and he's built for it. And I believe that, man. If he wasn't going through whatever he was going through the first time he was here, he would have stayed. We would have definitely offered him another contract. I believe it. But he was going through something mentally, of course, you know, being traded from the Bulls and everything. But he's here to mentor the youngins and be that sixth man, and I think he'll thrive. I picked him up in my fantasy team.
smart move. Lawrence, being the other New York Knicks fan, what's your take on D Rose being back in the Garden?
I love D Rose. You know, I love having him back at the Garden, and getting rid of Dennis Smith Jr. is just a plus. Man was just taking up space. God. Not doing anything.
Man, like, it's hops and nothing else.
Yeah, that's for real.
Oh my gosh.
Like, we basically traded D Rose for air. You know, that's, and I'm okay with that.
Dang.
But yeah, like
no
you just
filter,
said.
No filter, man.
We get a veteran presence. We get a mentor for the young guys. And we get a reunion with D Rose and Tibbs. So that'll be exciting too.
Yep.
And Taj Gibson.
That was about to say, Taj Gibson, the OG Bulls crew. Nat, what's your take on D Rose back in New York?
Yeah, so listeners know that I'm not a huge Knicks fan, but it's hard to root against D Rose. I mean, everyone's rooting for him. We're all on agreement that he'll be a good veteran presence. He'll be a good influence on the youngins right there. So, I mean, the Knicks are also booming right now. They're doing great, I think. So they'll be good for sure with D Rose there too.
You know, I'm glad that, like, EJ mentioned it first, actually. In regards to D Rose, talking about how he was the first time around in New York, right? Like, he was going through mental stuff, all that, the whole nine yards. But I was listening today. In the past five stops that he's been at, including the Knicks, his second highest outscoring output was with the Knicks. He averaged like 18 points a game. Mind you, that was under a system that he did not like, which was the triangle offense because Phil Jackson was there. So how much more now that you have Tom Thibodeau, who he had so much success with, and now has the like a decent team compared to the Pistons? Come on. The Knicks compared to the Pistons?
Anyone compared to the Pistons.
That's what I'm saying. Plumlee. That's what I'm saying. And like, you know, for me, because EJ mentioned it earlier too, was like how it's like a second chance for him. And I always think of that image. You guys probably seen it where it's like, I think it was him in a Bulls jersey picking up himself when he was on the Timberwolves, you know, like it was because his Timberwolves season, that was one of the greatest comeback stories ever when he dropped, like he had that 50 point game and stuff 50. Like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the game saving block.
Exactly.
That was my wallpaper actually for like 5 months. That picture you were talking about, that was my wallpaper.
Now, like, because you mentioned you're a big D Rose fan, I always think back to when it was a 2008 NBA draft. Miami had the number one overall pick, and they select. Oh no, they had the number two pick. The Bulls selected D Rose. And the Heat selected
Michael Beasley.
And I always think, what if things were reversed? What if the Bulls picked Beasley and D-Rose went to Chicago and then you had LeBron come in and then Chris Bosh? Oh, man. It would have been, wow. A whole bunch of what ifs. Lawrence, did you have like a top story that stood out to you for this past week?
Honestly, it's just I think the top story, you guys might have it too. Curry. Drop in 11 three-pointers, 57 total points right. against the Mavs, but in a loss.
Right.
But man was on fire.
Man, I'm so sad, man. I know.
How we do, buddy? How we do?
I love it because Steph was my first pick in my fantasy team. That's my guy.
He's putting up crazy points. Yeah, yeah.
I love Steph.
Nat, what about you, Nat? What's your top story?
So it's hard to ignore this. Kevin Durant, that whole blunder with Kevin Durant and the Nets. I'm sure we all noticed what happened there. He didn't start the first like 20 minutes or so of the game because of protocols. Went into the game, played for a little bit, and had to be pulled because of a COVID test of someone that he was with. So it was like, that made no sense to me. Everyone was like outraged. And then after that, he couldn't play for the Sixers game the week we were like looking forward to on Saturday, last Saturday. And like that right. was awful too. That game sucked. Like they were so bad. But I'm just glad that hopefully we see him for the Nets and Lakers in a few days. So
here's my thing with that. Like, so originally they held him back from starting the game because the person he was with had an inconclusive test.
Right.
But then they were like, well, technically it's not a positive. Or a negative, so they let him play. But then when it came back conclusive as a positive test, that's when they pulled him. So in my mind, right, if I'm the NBA and you're trying to do things right, why even give him the opportunity to come in the first place? If it's inconclusive, you don't know. You don't want to risk it. Right? Like if we've seen what this pandemic, what this virus has done, like why risk it? Just have him sit out. Because he could have potentially spread that to everybody else that he was playing with on the floor.
And obviously, like, they're, like, touching the ball. They're, like, in, like,
exactly.
with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just finish the game. Like, let him play.
Yeah.
They could have won that game if he was
still there. That's what I hated about that. Like, if he's already in, he's already in.
Keep him in. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you're already touching each other. It's just.
Everybody's already been exposed. Like,
yes. You already dapped him up and everything. So, might as well just let him finish.
Yeah.
Exactly. For me, I thought one of the top stories actually happened last night was Nat's boy. LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo, I like LaMelo too.
Seven threes, seven, with that busted jumper.
I was just about to say that.
So I always refer to it as like him trying to chuck like a bowling ball into the hoop. Like that form is just atrocious.
Yeah.
But
to me, it looked like a cleaner Joakim Noah jump shot.
I agree with that.
He actually jumps. Joakim, his feet were usually just planted, or he would just tippy toe. But a funny thing about that stat, right? Everybody's blowing up about the seven threes. If you add that up, like if you did the math, right, that's 21 points. He finished the game with 24. His other 3 points came from the free throw line. So nothing inside, but still, nevertheless. What's crazy to me about that story too, like they were interviewing after the game and they're saying like because of protocols and stuff like that, he didn't get to do warm-ups. He didn't get to do like morning shoot around. So he essentially came into the game cold. Like he started the game, right, but you know, no warm-up, no nothing, but he just balled out. I think that's a tribute to, you know, when you're still young, you don't really got to stretch. You know, I never used to stretch. You just lace him up, step on the court, and you just start hooping. EJ knows.
Yeah, until I tore something. So now I stretch 20 minutes before I do anything now.
Yeah. Now that I'm up there, I set aside at least 20 minutes just to stretch and warm up. But that's because of old age. But anyway, those are our top stories. Now we're going to move on to our non-top stories, stories that we think should be top stories. Right. So I guess just kind of give an example, like for example, right, the first one of the ones I had, and then we'll go to EJ, was Carmelo. Carmelo hit a milestone. You know, he moved up to the, I think, 13th on the all-time scoring list, which is no small feat. Like, mind you, this guy sat out for like a whole season, I think even longer than a season, and for him to be able to do what he's doing, yeah, like it's crazy. I feel like it should be a bigger story. EJ, do you have another story that is a non-story that you think should be a story?
I think underrated would be Larry Nance being out 6 weeks.
I don't even know that.
He is huge for the Cavs.
Right, right.
I'm saying, like, underrated. Defensively, I think he's got like 2 steals a game or something.
Yeah.
He's like, he's so, especially because Kevin Love has been out forever. I think, right, Larry Nance really stepped up and really helped out the Cavs. Now the Cavs have like lost like what, 4 in a row, 3 in a row? I don't even know.
But right,
I think that's a setback for them, for me.
Larry, I agree,
is huge for them. And I love Colin Sexton, so mm-hmm, it's tough. I want to see
him. We're a big fan of him on this show.
Let me just say one more. I just looked up a top story right now. This is Malik Beasley of the T-Wolves. Just pled guilty, yeah, to a felony charge.
Yep.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that.
Just now?
Yeah.
No, I saw it,
yeah, recently, yeah.
Yeah, I think he got sentenced like 120 days.
It's wild.
They're going to determine whether it'll be in jail or if it'll be from home. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there.
Remember when KCP had to play games with the ankle monitor?
Oh, man. That's why he's an NBA champion now, man. Look at that.
Yeah. That's like Antonio Brown. You know, you do all the wrong things, but you still get a chip.
Seriously. He had one of the touchdowns on Sunday. Shout out to AB, man. Lawrence, did you have a non-top story that should be a top story?
Yeah, I thought they were going to talk a lot more about this, actually. Do you guys see KG's comments about players of this era? He was saying that players 2-3 decades ago could not hang in this decade. So
I agree.
I mean, that's kind of pushing that LeBron is the GOAT. You know?
Wait. Hold on. To clarify, he was talking about guards, mainly guards. Like, if you think about it, like, you have guards like Kyrie, you have guards like Steph, what they could do with the ball, like, handles wise. Yeah, Nobody back in the 80s and 90s was doing anything remotely like that. I feel like the closest would probably be like Pistol Pete, because he was way ahead of his time, with the behind the back and the no looks and stuff like that. But you're talking like Kenny the Jet Smith or like, these Steve other like Kirk. John Stockton. Like, there's no way. There's no way.
Steve Kerr getting dropped any time the game.
I think we all agree you put MJ in any era and he would thrive. He would be successful. Just like LeBron, if you put LeBron in any era, he would be successful, right? I see what you're trying to do there, Lawrence. Now, what about you? Did you have a story?
Yeah, so before I go to my non-top story, when you said yours, Kuya, I thought you were going to say Draymond Green.
Ooh.
His thing last night with the three, like with 8 seconds left. But I'm glad you didn't. But my non-top story would have to be Toronto wants to trade Kyle Lowry. Did you guys see this? I was like,
yes.
No.
I was like, man.
To Miami, possibly.
Kind of like, That's right. That too. I don't know. I was a little hurt because I feel like Kyle Lowry should, you know, he's one of the best Raptors of all time. And I think they're going to just, like, you know, rebuild and, you know, with the youngins and all that. But if he goes to the Heat, I wouldn't be mad about that. I would be okay with that. Low key.
I think the Raptors want Van Fleet to take over.
That's right.
If the Kyle Lowry, you know, Drake's clone. I mean, he did drop. What did he drop? 50? 54?
Yeah, 54. That's actually what I was gonna. One of the things I was gonna bring up was his 54, because they're not playing all that great. I mean, you got like bright spots like Chris Boucher, Fred. I don't know what happened to Spicy P. I don't know what's going on with that.
Spinny
mild P.
Spinny
mild P. Spinny spin move. Spin move P. It's like you know, like when you're a kid and you're playing like a fighting game and you only press the one button because it's like a kick or something like that. Like that's like Pascal right with yeah.
Go to move.
That's right Pascal, there. But in real life, man, it's the same move. I think like one of the other things I wanted to talk about, because it kind of goes back to what Nat and I were talking about on last week's show. Because last week's show, Nat and I were talking about, okay, let's see what happens, you know, come Saturday, this past Saturday, when it was the Sixers versus the Nets, right? Before the whole COVID stuff and whatnot. But the Sixers are now 13-0 with their usual lineup of Curry, Green, Simmons, Harris, and Embiid. 13-0. Wow. Undefeated since the season started. 13-0. That's why they're number one in the East, which is why I still think, even though I hate it, I don't want to say it, I still think they're going to come out of the East. As of now. It pains me to say that. But one of the other like non-top stories that I felt like should be a top story was Christian Wood. Christian Wood getting injured. It's kind of like what EJ was talking about with Larry Nance. Christian Wood was a bright spot for the Rockets because after the departure of James Harden, they were trying to turn things around and they were building up some momentum, but I think they've dropped a couple, especially since his injury. One last one before we move on, a story that I think should be a bigger deal because I read way too much into it, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. When the Heat played the Wizards, there's a point where Jimmy Butler stole the ball from Bradley Beal and they got tangled up and they had a little moment where they were kind of looking at each other. They were smiling. And I was like, they're going to team up, man. They're going to team up.
PJ thinks they were whispering to us like, yo, you come in here. You come.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll bring you here, dog. I'll bring you here. Come play with us, man. That's my hope. But that, I mean, that's, I don't know, man. When I saw that, I couldn't help but smile. I was like, please let. I'd rather have Beal than Lowry. I don't think a lot of people realize Lowry's getting up there in age.
Yeah, he is.
He's 35, 36. He's about the same age as Chris Paul.
Okay.
They came out the same year.
I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 34, 35. I think he was drafted in 05. So he's been in the league for a minute. I feel like Miami already has kind of like older guards, especially at the point guard position, like Dragic. So I wouldn't want Kyle. I'd rather have Bradley Beal, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Probably have to trade Harrow though.
Yes. And that's the one thing I don't want to do. I don't know what I want, man. Like, I just feel like
you want to win.
we'll actually get into that for hot takes, but yeah, I'm just kind of besides myself with how Miami's been playing, but granted, injuries, COVID, the whole nine yards. We'll see what happens. Moving right along, we actually want to go into our top ballers of the week. Basically, people that you think have gone above and beyond in their respective sport, people who've been balling out. EJ, do you have a candidate for top baller of the week, ballers, if you have more than one?
I'm going to say De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox, from what I remember, I don't think they lost a game the entire week. And he averaging like 30 points right now for them, just for this week at least. And I think it's getting overshadowed because of Steph's 57, you know, Jokic's 50. But I love De'Aaron Fox. I thought he should have been drafted over Lonzo. But yeah, I like him. I like him this week at least.
He's definitely playing like he's worth that extension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he had that big contract. Yeah, he had that big contract in the offseason. He's just balling out. And I'm just going to throw this in there. Tyrese Halliburton, man, that guy he's nice. That's a good glue guy right there for your team. I like him.
His shot uglier than LaMelo's, though. I don't know. God,
it's
ugly, man.
I don't know how, like, it's like already up here. Like, that's his set. I don't know what it is. But it goes in. It goes in efficiently, too. So I'm not going to hate on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have any other candidate, or was De'Aaron the main one?
I'm going to say Giannis, too. You know, again, he led them again to be an undefeated week. And Giannis, you guys know Giannis.
Yep.
He's a freak.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's brought them to the number two seed right now in the East.
But the thing is, though, they just lost Drew Holiday because of COVID. So right. I guess we'll see how they work now.
It's weird, though, because I don't know. I can't remember for Lawrence and for Nat, but prior to the season starting, when we did our preseason, you know, predictions, mm-hmm. I had them like at the 5-6 range. Like, I didn't have them doing too well because they lost so much. But they're proving me wrong. Number two in the East right now. Yeah. Number two. Lawrence, what about you? Any ballers for the week?
I just got to go with Curry. Big Curry guy. Yeah, I just feel like you can't hate him.
Same. Except for Nat.
Except Nat.
Right. Nat can hate him.
Look at Nat's face.
Nat can hate him.
Steaming.
But it's like the Warriors, they want more out. Like, I mean, Steph wants to play more, but Steve Kerr and the Warriors are trying to limit his minutes so he can play more in the future. Right? Like, save him for the future.
When Klay comes back.
Right.
He's going to beat your boy, Nat. I'm just saying. He's going to beat your boy.
Nat, what about you? Any top ballers for the week?
Yeah, before that, though, if you drop 50-plus and lose, it shouldn't count. All right? It shouldn't count. You should not be celebrating. You should not
what?
Be giving the highlights. It should not count. All right?
What? I'm sure. Hold on. I'm so sorry. LeBron has had some crazy scoring outputs in a loss, especially in the early Cleveland years.
Of course. Yeah. Those don't count either. I'm just saying that, you know.
You should get the win. Nat, yeah. you believe Rush should have got that MVP then?
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. So back to my top baller of the week. My top baller of the week is LeBron James. I mean, come on. At this point, we can't deny greatness. All right.
Why are you laughing? Gosh.
This is straight facts here. Let me pull up this one stat that you've all seen already. All right. At 36 years old, year 18. He's averaging 34.5 minutes per game, his lowest, right? That's more than Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown, Zion, Trey, De'Aaron Fox, your boy, EJ, Donovan Mitchell, and Bam Adebayo. So, I mean, hey, this guy's making it work. Although we'll get to it later on in the show, but, you know, overtimes right now, I don't know why they're not closing games, but even though triple doubles, all that good stuff, I go LeBron James.
Oh, man.
I just want to say that I think LeBron's the GOAT. So I don't hate him. I mean, I don't like him because he's just that good. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just freaking amazing, and I hate it. But I think
you were MJ guy, EJ. I thought you were MJ guy for no, you weren't. Okay,
all right.
I like MJ, but I think LeBron's the GOAT, man.
There we go. Look at that.
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree there.
I don't want to start a whole nother conversation. I just want to bring that out there.
Now we know whose side you're on, traitor. But so for my top ballers of the week, right, I have of course, I feel like you have to go the Tampa Bay Gronkaneers. Tampa Bay Gronkaneers. Tom Brady getting his 7th ring. Solidifying his argument for being the GOAT of the NFL, hands down. I know I'm probably going to be shouting this out right now, but I think Nat kind of lost a bet to one of our close friends.
It's one of our friends, yeah.
So
we didn't shake on it. So it doesn't.
Right. But I know the type of character you are. You're a man of your word, which is very honorable. So for people who don't know, Nat said that if the Chiefs lost, he would do the silhouette challenge. So we're all waiting for that. You could do it on this show if you want to, Nat. We'll set that up. Yeah. We can make that happen.
You got a red light, Nat?
I do, actually. I do. I have a few lights. So perfect. I can turn red. But just give me 6 months. Give me 6 months, sir.
The other baller that I wanted to shout out was Paige Beckers. She plays for UConn. Last night, her and the UConn Huskies took down number one South Carolina. She dropped 31 points. She has 6 steals. She's a straight baller. I feel like a lot of hoopers that come out of UConn, especially their women's program, just straight nasty. Like they're born and bred to hoop. So I can't wait to see what she does. But shout out to her. She had an incredible week. So this kind of brings us into our hot take segment. And for a hot take this week, we're going to do something a little bit different. What we're going to do, I'm going to pose a situation, a statement, a question maybe, and you guys are going to try to convince me that that statement is true or that statement is false, and you're going to explain to me why. Seeing as EJ is our honorary guest, being a Knicks fan, and Lawrence also being a Knicks fan, I felt it was only right that we start off with things pertaining to the New York Knicks. Namely, this is the statement. So EJ, Lawrence, Nat, you guys have to either prove to me it's true or convince me otherwise. Okay. Julius Randle will be an all-star this year. Oh, didn't even let me finish.
Oh, you want me to start?
That was
my simple answer, yes. He definitely won't be fan voted in. Because there's clearly, you know, definitely people on his position that are way better. But what he's done this season, he's the leader of the Knicks right now. If you remember, I don't know if you ever watched the Knicks game last season, he was Siakam. All he would do was spin move, double clutch, and then miss. But if you watch him now, he's not doing the spin move. He's driving in, and when he drives in, people come to him, so he dishes out. He's averaging, I just looked up right now, he's averaging 6 assists this season. 6 assists. Yep. His career is 3. He doubled it. And under Thibs, his defense is way more noticeable, and his effort is up. He should definitely be an all-star this season.
Lawrence, what's your take?
Yeah, I think he should be an all-star this season. I don't know if he will, but he definitely should. There was a point in the season where he had better numbers than LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
This man, LeBron James, yep. All-star every year in and out is an all-star, right?
Yep.
And Julius Randle is putting up similar, if not better numbers than LeBron. Not right now, but was. He's made a huge difference this year. Like EJ said, defense and offensively. And I think that deserves a trip to the All-Star game.
So I can already see the he got snubbed tweets for Julius Randle. But to answer the question plainly, he should. But like you just said, I know that he probably won't be an All-Star because, you know, popularity, better people at his position. But, you know, you guys, you know, you're right. He's been balling. He's been doing good. But he's not, you know, he doesn't have that spark or that, you know, that popularity. So
that's the thing. It's a popularity contest, right?
It really is.
So like, and you're playing for the New York Knicks who, although like they're, I think right now they're in the 9th place spot. So they're in a play-in spot for the playoffs, but it's not like a super flashy team like the Lakers or Miami or, you know, Boston or anything like that, or the Warriors. So it's almost like it's gone unnoticed. Talking about his numbers and the keys for why he should be an all-star, basically based solely on the numbers, because he's averaging almost 23 points a game. He's averaging over 10 rebounds a game. And what EJ said, about 6 assists a game. And on top of that, he's shooting almost 50% from the field and 40% from deep. If I just read you those numbers, to anybody, you know, that who follows and listens and watches basketball, if I just read those numbers, people are like, oh yeah, for sure, that person's gonna be an all-star. But because he plays on the Knicks and they're not, you know, top tier, so to speak, and it's somebody who was a journeyman, you know, started in LA, went to New Orleans, and now is with the Knicks, he kind of goes unnoticed. But this guy, he's so fun to watch. And I was talking about this at the beginning of the season. Like, everybody's sleeping on Julius Randle. Everybody's sleeping on Julius Randle.
Even me, man. Even me.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, man. And on top of that, if I'm not mistaken, he's a lefty. And I feel like lefties have a greater advantage. Like, they're harder to stop in certain scenarios. And one, a big man that can pass, a point forward, if you will, man, I think he should be an all-star.
Man, you just convince yourself.
Yeah, I convinced myself, man. Staying on with the Knicks, because we brought this up earlier. EJ, adding Derrick Rose to the New York Knicks roster will guarantee them at least the eighth playoff spot.
I don't know about guarantee. It'll definitely give them a better chance, though. Because right now, the rotations, it's going to be a lot harder with Rose in it. Because everyone loves my guy Quickly. My guy IQ, that rookie, he coming up. But now that Rose is in, Thibs has shown that he loves Elfrid Payton for whatever reason. He's been starting over IQ all the time. So the guard, from what was, you know, our main problem before, is now we don't know who to play as much, which is a good thing because, you know, it's been a while since the Knicks had a good point guard. But it just causes a lot more problems with the rotation because we don't know who's going to get whose minutes, who's going to lose minutes. But they'll definitely be in position for the play-in. Have to be. If they don't, I'm going to...
I agree.
Laura, what about you?
Yeah, it doesn't guarantee them. It gives them a better chance. They didn't get like exceptionally better, right? It's definitely an upgrade, but it's not like that momentum or like the this not a significant move in my opinion. It'll definitely help out though. So eighth seed, hopefully.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, guys. But they are not making the playoffs. I'm sorry.
All right, name eight better.
Name better? All right, right here. So right now, let me read you the standings right now, all right? 1 Sixers, 2 Bucks, 3 Nets, 4 Celtics, 5 Pacers, 6 Hornets, 7 Hawks, 8 Raptors, 9 Knicks, 10 Cavaliers. I think the Hawks won't make it, but the Heat will. The Heat right now are at 12th. So they're going to come up. So play-in probably be like maybe Cavs and Hawks, I think. But Knicks, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to say no. They won't make it.
So what if I added this, right? Right now this season, the Knicks have one of the lowest efficiency ratings when it comes to offensive scoring in the fourth quarter, especially in closing minutes. Because although Julius Randle's going off, you know, you have RJ Barrett, you have nice young talent, there's no go-to crunch time scorer for you. But then you're bringing somebody like Derrick Rose, who's known to be a closer and can close out in the fourth quarter. Now, EJ's statement about, you know, where minutes are going to go, what about IQ and stuff like that. You mentioned it earlier. He's coming in to kind of mentor the young guys, especially IQ. So what if I said, you know, you let IQ start, get some games under him, but then you save D Rose, let him play early on in the game too, but then especially in crunch time, especially if it's a close game, you're going to have D Rose in there. Somebody that will get you points because he can get to the basket. He can, you know, hit the jumper, the three, the two, doesn't matter. He has that veteran presence where he knows what to do in those closing moments. And again, he's playing in a system or with a system that he is familiar with under Tom Thibodeau. Do you think knowing that information, does that change your thoughts on a guaranteed eighth spot at least?
Nah.
Nope.
Definitely no guarantee. Because what Nat said, you know, there's a bunch of teams there. But I don't think the Hornets is guaranteed a playoff spot either.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. Okay.
I don't think the Raptors are guaranteed a playoff spot either. So I think, honestly think the last few seeds will be between Knicks, Raptors, Hornets, Hawks. So,
no Cavs? So let me ask you out of those teams, right? Out of Raptors, Knicks, Hornets, Hawks, who do you think has the better Knicks chance of getting to the eighth spot?
That's some confidence.
The best chance, if they get it together, like if all these teams get their stuff together, the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Trae Young will do whatever Trae Young does. But if they get their stuff together, if Bogdanovich comes back and becomes that scorer they need off the bench, they'll be guaranteed, I believe. But what I want, you already know. I just want to say that the Knicks defense is amazing. Like they were top five. I think they were number one at one point, I believe.
Yes.
I think that helps them over all the other teams that I mentioned.
Lawrence, what about you? Like, out of those four teams, who do you think has a better chance?
It's so tough. Like, they're all, like, so close. I don't think it's going to be the Hawks. As much as I want them to, they just lost DeAndre Hunter, and he was a big piece for them.
Right.
So they are already shorthanded with Bogdanovich out. Like you said, I don't like the Hornets in there. So I think it's got to be between the Cavs, the Knicks, and the
Raptors, right? Or no?
okay.
Well, the Trey Lowry, I mean, that's out of there. Okay. So I don't know. I'm going to stay confident with the Knicks.
What about you, Nat?
So, okay. If the Raptors pull off this trade with Andre Drummond, which I've heard about, if they get Andre Drummond, I think they can make it to the eighth or even higher than the eighth. But from those three or four teams that we just mentioned, I think the best chance is the Raptors. And that's very biased of me because I love the Raptors. I love Nick Nurse. So
I love the Raptors too.
But doesn't matter.
When DeMar Lowry were there, I love them. But
Yeah.
Right now, the way that they're playing, it's tough. But if they do get Drummond, I think that's a guarantee.
Right.
Well, Drummond might go to the Lakers too. You guys hear that? Either Drummond or Jared Allen.
The Lakers don't need. If he goes to the Lakers, it will diminish or like lessen LeBron's MVP chances.
No, it will not.
Your team is stacked. Your team is stacked. Your team is stacked.
Bro, imagine AD and Drummond. Like you're dropping.
That's what I'm saying.
You just see
because Marcus Saul is too slow. Arrow's too small. It's perfect. It's perfect. That's all we
need. Oh my goodness.
Oh.
They're already a cheat code, man.
Yo, once they got Schroeder, like.
We can't close.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So to kind of go back between those four teams, right? I don't think it'll be the Hawks, the Hornets, or the Raptors. To me, it comes down to the Knicks and Cavs. The reason I say that, and we talked about this in the past, actually in last week's show, I'm big on defense, and the Knicks have bought into their identity of being a defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time this season, they held opponents to the fewest number of points.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel, and we talked about this last week, you know, the old adage, defense wins championships. And yeah, you can have the high-flying, you know, scoring of the Atlanta Hawks, but when it comes down to, you know, in a 7-game series, I don't think you can sustain, you know, playing that way. You need defense. And I think they're notorious on their defensive side. I'm not too sure about the Hornets. I don't like them defensively either. Same with the Raptors. I mean, I know you have Chris Boucher, but then you got like Aron Baynes and, you know, guys like that. Like I'm not entirely sold. I'm more sold on the Knicks and Cavs, especially when Larry Nance comes back.
Okay.
Hopefully Kevin Love comes back too. It would be even more.
I heard he's coming back soon. Moving on to the next one. Let me, okay, so this is how we're going to do it. You're going to tell me who your choice is, and you're going to convince me why. EJ, who has a better chance of making it to the playoffs, the Dallas Mavericks or the Miami Heat?
It would be tough if the Heat wasn't in the East, because the East is, from what we said, 6th and down, it's thrown up there. And with Jimmy Butler back, especially, the Heat have, you know, even a much better chance. The Mavericks, I think I read somewhere they were a top 5 defensive team, and now they're bottom 5. I don't know how that happens at all. Like, I don't know how you don't sustain that. But like what you said, defense wins championships, man. And you will not even survive in the playoffs with a bottom 5 defense. So I'm going to go with the Heat, because I love Jimmy Butler and Bam.
I'm all about Jimmy. Jimmy G. Lawrence, what about you, Lawrence? Who has a better chance?
Got to go with the Heat in the East, man. The West is just too tough, too stacked up 1 through 8. You know, the East is up for grabs in that bottom half. So I think if the Heat get hot second half of the season, they can squeeze their way into the playoffs.
Nat?
I'll put it to you this way. All right. The Mavericks, in their second game against the Warriors, they won that game due to a late three by Maxi Kleber. Again, they won that game because Maxi Kleber hit the game winner, securing shot.
Right.
So in that case, I mean, and it's the Warriors. The Warriors are trash right now. So I mean, like, why would you think that the Mavericks have a better chance? I'm going the Heat as well. The Heat are also in the weaker conference, and it's a dogfight right now for the last 2 or 3 seeds. So I think they're going to get it.
Is there a scenario? You answer, PJ. Yeah, you guys already know. I'm going. But is there a scenario, into you guys, that neither team makes it to the playoffs, or is it for sure Miami's going to be in the playoffs?
For sure. I think for sure. I have the Heat in my bracket or in my listing. So I'm going to go with the Heat. The Mavs too, but I'm like, nah, I don't know. I'm like, not anymore. It's tough for them.
I don't like the Mavericks, by the way. I don't like the Mavericks. I like Luka, but Porzingis can go, man. Porzingis can leave, bro. He can't play more than half a season. So Mavericks, you're done.
I just feel like with Miami, like, I know Avery Bradley's out again. There's all this COVID stuff. There's all these injuries. The team can't stay healthy. And we talked about this last week where it's a shortened season. So if you're going to turn it on, it has to be now. Like, we're already a quarter of the way through the season. Like, you can't be wasting any more time. And I'm not saying the East is the bottom half of the East is easy. I mean, you do got some like spark plug teams that can surprise you here and there, you know, like the Charlotte Hornets, where like if they start believing in themselves, you know, watch out, because that's exactly what they're doing right now, is they're believing in themselves. And I feel like they've won big games. So, I mean, of course I want Miami to make it. Will they make it? I'm still up in the air. Like, I know this is a cop out, you know, being a Heat fan, but I'm genuinely concerned. I'm a little bit scared. Like, I don't know, you know, and it's sad because, you know, everybody was saying like last year was a fluke, you know, is one of these things where it's just like everything worked out for them. And I'm like, come on, like, you can do it. Like, they did it before. Like, why can't they do it again? But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Nat brought up something I kind of want to throw in real quick, talking about Maxi Kleber hitting that big three. I can't remember if it was against the Warriors, but it was against the Warriors. I wanted to talk to you guys about ruining basketball. Do you think players like Trae Young and what Luka Doncic did against the Warriors on Andrew Wiggins, do you think they're ruining basketball? And what I mean by ruining basketball, the plays that I'm referring to with Luka, he did a pump fake at the three, and Andrew Wiggins lunged forward, and Luka clearly lunged forward into him to draw the foul.
That's right.
Like, clearly dove into him, and he got the foul call. But that's not anybody who plays basketball. You don't shoot you know, jumping at a 45 degree angle towards the hoop. You know what I mean? Like a jump shot is just straight up and down. So for him to get the foul call on that, a lot of people are arguing like that's ruining the game of basketball. That's not a basketball play. Same goes for Trae Young, because he's doing something more innovative, right? Where when he gets by his defender, he jumps back into them and then shoots and draws the foul. And many people have spoken out against this, including Steve Nash, who said that's not basketball. It's a non-basketball play. So to you guys, do you think plays like that, do they ruin basketball? Or do you look at it like they're innovators? They're changing the way the game is played. EJ, what's your take on that?
It's kind of hard to really say which side is more right. Because, first of all, the refs. It's really on the refs. And I don't really know what they're thinking is. But, because like they say they change the rules, but then the refs still call the same thing. So I don't know what that's all about. But the thing with Trae Young, I don't agree with it. I don't like it at all, actually. But it's not against the rules. He's right. Kind of just finding ways to get fouled. It's kind of like James Harden.
Exactly. You
know, with the Euro step and the swing through. KD with exactly. The swing through.
Yeah.
Harden's step back. That's sometimes a travel, but they don't call it. they finding ways to score or to guarantee a score, it's annoying. I don't think it's ruining basketball. If they truly believe it's ruining basketball, NBA will do something about it. And the refs suck.
Lawrence, what's your take on that?
All right, so with Trae, I kind of like it. I think it's smart of Trae, right? There's just there's no rule against it, right? So like,
right.
Why not do it? Use it to your advantage. Get your points. You know, help your team out in any way you can. But I will say the Luka lean in on the shot the other night ago, I thought that's smart too, right? If you can draw the foul, it's get your points. But I don't like how the refs, they weren't consistent with it. Because after Luka did it the first time, you saw that Curry, Steve Kerr, they both were livid about it. Like both pissed off. So then Curry tried it later in the game and he didn't get the call. So if you're going to call it, you got to stay consistent with it. Call it for both sides on the ball.
I think that's today's game. Like trying to get calls or like, you know, drawing fouls, trying to like, you know, act as people, you know, say nowadays, acting in the NBA.
Right.
So, but Trae, it's straight up ridiculous. I don't know. Like he's kind of like putting his booty out into like the other player. But again, it's like today's game now, trying to get those calls, trying to get those like clinching or like clutch moment free throws, whatever. But we just have to deal with it. So
I think those plays, okay, like with the lean in, right? Like the jumping forward, I'm not going to hate on it because my boy D Wade, he did that for so many years of his career. You know what I mean? Like that was his go-to. That's a guaranteed free throw shot right there with his pump fake. So I'm not going to hate on it, but it was just so ridiculous to see the extent at which Luka lunged forward to get the call. Like that was wild to me. So yeah. Of course, like I'm not like even in Trae Young's case, like I'm not gonna. It's so smart. It is so smart. But like what EJ was saying, it's annoying because it's a non-basketball play. Or like what Lawrence was saying, like it's so smart because nobody's done it before. Nobody thought about doing that before. So Trae Young is an innovator in that sense. You know what I mean? So it's kind of cool to see something new. But I know like a lot of old heads and guys that, you know, old school players, like they're going to hate that because, you know, we grew up in that era where it's, you know, no blood, no foul, you know, all these little ticky-tack stuff now. But nevertheless, you know, it's smart. I think it's smart. It's annoying, but it's smart. So one of the last things I wanted to get into before we sign off here, the last one, and I guess because it's biased already, I'll start with Nat on this one. Nat, I'll let you take the reins on this one.
Sure.
The statement is, and convince me, LeBron is clutch.
First of all, it's gonna be hard to convince you because you're a Jordan fan. I don't think you can get to your brain at all. But LeBron is more clutch. I mean, like, you know, the stats prove it, more clutch than Jordan. Obviously, like not as flashy as Jordan was with all his, you know, his good shots. But lately, these past few games, I'm not seeing it because LeBron has had good looks to win the games and hasn't made it. Although it was from three, which is kind of odd. But I think, you know, generally speaking, like, you know, stats wise and all that, history wise, he is clutch. I saw, you know, we all saw him embarrass your guy Mason Plumlee in that one game against the Pistons. I loved it. But again, like, it took him two OTs to do that. I mean, like, come on. Like, you gotta get it done quicker. So he is clutch, but right now it's hard to say. It's like, I don't know.
What about you, EJ?
He is, for sure. Because, like, if I was the other team, I'd be scared to have LeBron James coming up and trying to take that last second shot. That's my kind of definition. Because, like, he's the thing with him, though, is he's willing to give it up to pass it to a teammate, and which is, you know, not necessarily wrong, but I think that aspect of him makes people believe that, you know, he just doesn't got that, you know, that mentality, that Jordan Kobe mentality,
right?
Which will make people be like, oh yeah, he's not clutch. He won't take that last shot, but he's definitely clutch. You know, that double OT shot was still nice. And
it was.
If it did take two OTs, it was still a clutch shot. But he's not clutch in the way that Jordan was or Kobe was, because, you know, their mentality is, I'm making this shot no matter what. I don't care if I'm triple teamed and there's two people wide open. But he's hit a bunch of shots, and you can't deny that.
Go.
What about you, Lawrence?
I mean, just this past week against the Pistons, like, you could see that, yes, he's clutch. He took the moment, took the shot, made the shot, won the game. So, I mean, that defines clutch for me. I mean, not to the extent of, you know, a Jordan or a Kobe, but still clutch.
You mad right now?
Oh, I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for your response right now. I'm excited to see it. What's up?
I think for the first time, I've been able to witness it. Of course, you know, because I'm a Heat fan, and when he was in Miami, I loved everything LeBron did. But we're talking about, let's talk about the season, right? I feel like for the first time in a long time, LeBron has proven to me that he's clutch.
Surprise.
But
what?
But for, like, the wrong reason.
What? Wait, elaborate.
So, like, you talk about, like, MJ and Kobe, right? They were clutch because they wanted it. They wanted that, you know, like you guys were talking about, they had that killer mindset where they want to take that last shot. After the Pistons game, when they were asking about LeBron, like, you know, being clutch in the final seconds there, especially in the second OT, he was like, my body can't take it anymore. I just want to go home. Like, I was trying to go home. I have a bottle of wine waiting for me, you know, like, his motivation was he just wanted to go home. Like, he wanted to end the game so that he could go home and drink some wine. And then the other night, you know, there was another OT that had to go to OT again, and he took over again in OT with the clutch threes down the line. But it's the same thing. Like, you mentioned it earlier, he's playing a ton of minutes, and he is up there in age, and he's hitting these clutch shots in overtime, not because, like, you know, it's like mama mentality or whatever. The way it looks to me is like he's hitting these clutch shots because he just wants to go home. Like, he's done. Like,
but that's gangster, you know, though. That is so,
you know,
gangster.
Like, you know, like when you're playing with your friends, right? Like, you're playing like 21 or something like that, and like it's been a long game. You're like, man, I want this game to be over. So you just start to like chucking threes because you don't want to drive into the paint anymore. You just start taking outside threes. That's what it reminds me of. Like, LeBron's like, man, F this. I'm gonna just try to end this, and he's like taking more threes. But I will admit, he is hitting it. You know, he's making them, which is what matters. And, you know, proof is they got those OT wins. You know what I mean? So, yes, LeBron is clutch, but for a different reason. I think it's a little bit wonky there. So, before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask, EJ, did you want to plug anything before we sign off? Anything you want, or if we forgot anything, something you wanted to bring up or talk about?
No.
What about you, Lawrence? Is there anything we forgot?
Nothing for me.
Net?
I'm all good.
Oh, wait, I got a question.
Sure.
Who do you think is going to win most improved? Because there's a lot of people who are up for that, which I think is a less clear race than the other races. So I just kind of want to know what y'all think.
We've talked about this in previous shows, right? I think at one point we kind of all agreed on Brandon Ingram.
Again?
Oh, no. Was it Brandon? No, it was someone else. Who did we think?
Jeremy Grant or no?
Oh, Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's up there. I feel like you kind of have to put Julius Randle in the equation. You know what I mean? I feel like Julius Randle's, you know, he's been balling out. There's been a couple other players that I've been thinking about randomly throughout the day, like players that are like, oh, wow, like this person's really stepped up. Like you don't even think about it like that. So definitely Julius Randle. Jeremy Grant is up there. But like how much of it is Julius Randle? I mean, Jeremy Grant, like his case is he's having like these crazy numbers because he's on a really bad team. Like he's not a top tier player. I feel like he's like a mediocre player, you know, a solid, you know, he can get you 14 points and, you know, 9 rebounds or whatever. So how much of it is him being on a bad team as opposed to him like really earning a most improved player spot? Right now, I feel like my candidate would probably be Julius Randle. I can't remember who I said earlier on in the season. I don't remember. I can't think of any. What about you guys?
I'm gonna go Colin Sexton.
That's the other one. That's the other one I said. Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
These are my top three for the choices.
Yeah.
For
me, one of the things that I kind of wanted to put out there, I just want to thank everybody for the love and the support, people that are like following us, listening to us, people that, you know, share our posts and stuff like that. Shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for listening, for supporting us. For next week's show, something that we've been discussing, we're going to do something a little bit special where we're going to kind of do like a progress report of where we stand on our preseason predictions and where we are now, kind of like a mid-season review type of thing. So we'll kind of go back and discuss that. That'll be one of our topics for next week. So, with that said, if nobody else has anything, everybody out there, thank you so much for listening. And stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you guys next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.